Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the, I was going to say Wednesday night, but this week it's going to be Thursday night. Free conference call by Yahweh's Design Family Chat, and it is the 25th of April, Thursday, and year 2024. Again, it's going to be an open forum. I will let the open mic start here in just a minute. And just want to let everybody know that these are perilous times, just like Yeshua told us, okay? I'm hearing from so many folks that are going through, I don't know, various trials and tribulations this time. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's health, relationships. These are not, how should we say, immune to the ways of the world. The only thing Yeshua told us was in the middle of all this chaos, we were to remember that we are his chosen and we are the overcomers. In other words, even though we see all this and it will have an effect on us, we are not to allow it to overcome us. We instead will overcome it. So we just have to stay strong a bit longer. There is an end in sight to all of this, believe it or not. The insanity cannot go on and on and on. So everybody just remember that. Try to stay calm, stay positive and whatnot, and we'll get through this. And again, it is an open forum, no particular topic other than what you all want to talk about. So with that, I'm going to yield and say it's an open mic, and if somebody has a topic or an interest or something to report, now's the time to do it. I yield. Nobody has anything? How about you, Jeremiah? Anything on your mind? Or John? Or Ella?
I'm getting tired of this waiting game. You're just waiting for the next shoe to drop.
I think everybody's getting a bit weary. I think what people are weary about is where are the men? Where are the righteous people? I know one thing I'm weird about. I thought many years ago when I started by Yahweh's Design and the radio show after, I think it was like 7-8 years later, I finally had an opportunity to start the radio show. So I would say about 35 years now of preaching, going to meetings, gatherings. I thought by now, with this much information, this much truth, this much of the apocalypse, the revealing of the evil, I thought there would be a gigantic worldwide revolution of righteous people saying enough is enough and let's make everybody accountable for their actions. And I think the disappointing thing to me is, where is everybody? You know, we've got our people here who obviously are fed up and want to know the truth and to educate people and everything else. But where's everybody else? Why does it seem so many people have fallen off the wagon? And I don't know, maybe they enjoy the chaos. Maybe they enjoy what's going on. I don't know. What do you folks think? I yield.
Well, do you actually think that our mainstream media would tell us if people are rising up against the government?
No, but no media is telling it.
They would keep that quiet as heck. They would delete it off the
internet. But I'm not hearing it from any circles. That's my problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I understand that the mainstream churches, the mainstream media, the government, all them, they're all in bed together. That does not upset me, but what upsets me is I'm not hearing about groups of people holding folks accountable hardly anywhere, even though somebody was telling me the other day that there are places on Earth right now that are actually doing quite well. There are places on Earth where they have abandoned their governments. And because of that, just like Spain, it wasn't that many years ago that Spain's central government shut down for, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years? No central government in Spain For I know it was more than a year, and seems to me it was a year and a half to 2 years. No central government functioning at all. And Spain's still here. In fact, during that period of time, I read lots of reports where the people in Spain were having a wonderful time with no central government. So we know it is possible, and I'm hearing that, but I don't know where they're at, but somebody was saying there's places on Earth that are doing it right now. People are ignoring the government officials, or they're throwing them out and saying, we don't need you. Has anybody heard of other places doing that?
Just scuttlebutt here and there. They're trying to keep our attention on Gaza and Ukraine and all this other ridiculous stuff going on, that they want to take our attention of what's happening really in America with the open borders and the Chinese troops coming in and all that kind of thing that we hear very little about, that they're developing their systems against us while we're looking out in foreign nations doing whatever they are doing.
I was reading a few of the scriptures here. It says in Psalm 53, verse 8, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Well, yeah, that is definitely true. And Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Well, that one also very, very true. I don't know. I guess part of my problem is I got a letter from a longtime listener that was upset that I don't do more teaching like I used to do in the very beginning. Like, most of my radio broadcasts would be Bertrand Copperay, Wesley Swift, sometimes back in the beginning anyway, there was some James Wickstrom until I found out more about him and what he was like. There would be other teachers and things like that. E. Raymond Capp, the archaeologist. And they were upset that I don't do that more often now. But, you know, after doing that for almost 25 years, it reminded me of the scripture that says that they're forever learning but never coming to the truth. It's like, how many times do we have to go over the same scripture over and over and over and over and over? I mean, sooner or later, it would seem to me the principle being taught should be learned. And what I found out in my own life is that I picked up information from scripture, and I immediately, just like I do with natural health, when I pick up a truth, I incorporate it into my life from that moment on. It's not something that is repeated or taught over again. If it's a truth and it works, I incorporate it. And it's part of my life from that point on. So in a way, what we are, what we say on a daily basis, and how we live our life is a reflection of Yahweh Yeshua, just by the way we are, the way we talk, the things we hold of value, the truths that we teach, the love we have for mankind, the love we have for a natural order. But I guess that's not good enough for some folks. I don't know. Anybody have an opinion on that? I yield.
Yeah, I think people are keeping hanging on to the things that they're learning in that place called a church. There's not one scripture in the Bible that tells us to go to church to learn about the Bible. If they said that, Hebrews, I think it's 10:25 or something around that, says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see that day approaching. That's all it says about it. And the thing is that Yahweh wants us to assemble together like we're doing tonight. And then, but he does not want us assembling together with unbelievers. Every church in existence now welcomes all kinds of people in the church to fill the coffers. Doesn't matter if they're black, white, purple, green, homosexual, female preachers, or whatever they are. Anybody is welcome as long as they pay to the coffers. And then the pastors behind the pulpits teach the same old garbage they've been preaching over the years. that are taking us away from the truth. Like, for instance, the Bible tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So what do the people, what do the old preachers teach about the days of Noah? That's in Genesis 6. They follow along with the book of Enoch telling you that fallen angels came down and made babies with earth women. And that is as far from the truth as you can get. That's completely destroying the real reason for the flood, which was race mixing, miscegenation. The sons of God in Genesis 6 are defined in Luke 3:38. It says the sons of Adam, sons of Seth, are all the sons of God. All the sons of Adam are sons of God. They are not angels. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, I forget the exact same verse, but it says that God has at no time called any angels as sons. Yet people continue thinking that the sons of God in Genesis 6 are angels that came down and fornicated with female women and produced giants. And that is not the truth. The word Nephilim means evil ones, mighty men, the people that were there, mixed breeds, descending from Cain and the pre-Adamites and the women from the land of Nod, all mixed races that were destroying Yahweh's plan all along to keep the Israelites of a pure race. And they want to tell you that fallen angels come down and produce giants. And that's what people think that the end times now are. Well, where are the giants? Well, there's no giants, but there are people called Nephilim, the evil men that cause other people to fall, and they wear little black hats on their heads. They're all over this, and they're causing all the evil. That's what's been happening with the pastors in the teaching of the Bible. They've been destroying the teachings, and the people are just comfortable and satisfied with hearing whatever a preacher has told them from the behind the pulpit. And in 20 or 30 years of being so-called saved, how many times during the week do they open that Bible and actually study it? Very, very few. That's why people know nothing now, and they're now, they don't know what's going on, so they're asking for pastors that know something to come up and teach them. Well, you've been teaching people for years. 6 years ago when I came into your ministry, I didn't know identity, but I knew a heck of a lot about everything else. And you put that last piece together for me. And that's why I've been so desperate to try to get the truth out there. And you've been great enough to let me use your website as a platform for getting some of these truths out, like polygamy, circumcision, monogamy, all that stuff that the world has been pushing on us that is wrong. I'll yield.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, it's, you know, and again, I have learned over the years, some people are somewhat addicted to ritualism, which the church world provides. They like the tapestry. They like the building. They like the ornate furniture. They like the stained glass windows. Somehow that makes them feel, I don't know, closer to the Father. But you're right. There's nothing in Scripture that says anything about going to buildings to learn. It just says don't forsake the assembly of brethren, okay? Which, again, that's what we're doing here. It doesn't have to be a formal setting. Doesn't have to be in a particular building or on a particular day. We assemble together to help each other out. That's what fellowship's all about, is helping each other out and staying with each other, not condemning each other constantly over, to me, superficial things. Maybe I'm wrong, but some of these things people get upset about to me are pretty damn superficial, especially when you look at the shape of the world today. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I was just going to add a few things to what Ella was talking about. And she's right that, you know, a lot of people get this idea that angels came down and slept with just human beings and birthed the Nephilim, which were known as giants. which is, you know, another fantasy story. It's as much of a fantasy story as a talking snake in a tree.
Right.
Now, the word that should have been used in Scripture is men of renown, which is mighty men or great or even famous. You can think of it as famous men. And I try to correlate that to today. We do have men of renown. It's known as Walmart, Amazon, Microsoft. These might not actually be physical human beings, but they're based, most of your companies today are based off of someone's name. So you can see those as today's men of renown. They're corporations. They're huge and influential. Those are your men of renown today. Now, back then, we don't know if they had corporations. We don't know what they had way back then. They might have had a system similar to what we have today, but we're talking like, you know, 6,000-7,000 years ago. So there's almost no evidence today of what were the men of renown back then. We just know that they were very famous, and they had skills, and they were basically worshipped. Now, a lot of people I know, well, not really a lot, but a few people I know question even that because they were men of renown. They said, well, how can that be possible if they're mixed? I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of mixed people who are very athletic. Just because you're mixed doesn't mean you're going to be falling apart, ill, weak, or even stupid, because you have our DNA inside you, which allows you to be a little more creative, it allows you to be a little more smarter, and there's many mixed people who surpass even whites. So it's not far-fetched to think that back then, when you had a more satanically pure bloodline mixing with our people, that they produced really articulate and creative and athletic people that became idols, really, of their day. With that said, though, I would not knock the idea of giants, because we do have archaeological proof of giants. In fact, the Edomites have did everything they could to hide the fact that giants existed at one time, and hence they created the idea of dinosaurs to hide giant bones. We know the Bible speaks of giants. Goliath was a giant. Now, he wasn't no, you know, 800-foot-tall giant. He was probably around 8 to 9 feet tall. And Scripture says he was tall as a tree, but we have to remember context. And that area where he lived, trees didn't get as big as, like, you know, the trees here in America. I believe the trees over there in the Middle East only got maybe 12 feet tall or so. They didn't have giant trees like we do here. So, now, of course, Hollywood will change that to make giants seem astronomically tall, but they're not. They're just taller than you. And even me, you take me and put me next to someone who's, you know, 7-8 foot tall, he would be a giant to me. He'd be a giant to most people. I yield.
Right. Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, well, let me get my thingy down there. Okay, one thing Jeremiah ought to understand, too, is the topography of the world has changed from the times before the Great Flood. The heavens opened and it changed. There used to be just a mist that watered the earth. And in the early days, long, long, long ago, the people and the animals and everything may have been a lot, lot, lot taller than we are today. And gradually, like over the years, they lived to be 1,000 years back then. But then, according to Genesis 6, Yahweh changed their time of life to 120 years. And from then on, we've been decreasing at the age we will live. And also, the people are not as tall today as they were back then either. So that's one of the reasons why there may have been giants found or skeletons found and everything. But, you know, they talk about the grapes of wrath in the land of Canaan. that there were giants over there and they couldn't conquer them. But what happened then is those that went and scouted out the land were lying about them, because they didn't want to enter the land because they were afraid of them and they didn't want to make war with them. They might have been a little bit taller people, but they were wicked people. And the Bible says something about they had to carry a bunch of grapes on between two staffs and everything like that. But it never tells us in the Bible that at the time that they were giants, that the plants and the fruits and the vegetables and everything were giant size too. I haven't read anything like that anywhere. So we have to realize that Yahweh tells us that a lot of these people gave fibs. They lied about what was going on in the other lands. And just because we read it, what they said, doesn't mean it was true. I'll yield.
Yeah, well, there are misreportings recorded in Scripture. But, you know, here this gets back to something that I've been pointing out, whether people like it or not, but I've been pointing it out for quite some time. How much controversy, arguing, etc., have we done amongst our brethren over what's in the Bible, what's in Scripture? I know ever since I learned about the identity message, I've been to an awful lot of meetings, especially before the age of computers. The only time you could get literature and great information was going actually to a gathering. And so we did, and Jeremiah has been to some of those gatherings. He knows what I'm talking about. So when you went to these gatherings, there was inevitably arguing going on about interpretation of Scripture. And so over the years, I've noticed that has been the biggest dividing thing amongst the white race, is our constant bickering and fighting with one another over interpretations, constantly. And I pointed that out to some folks last night. I had a kind of an emergency meeting with some folks last night, and I also was performing some legal paperwork with folks. But I pointed out to them, I said, you know, why is it that we feel that our only way to salvation is through what's written in these books? Why do we believe that, when Yahshua himself said, when I leave, I'm going to leave a counselor for you? He did not say, I'm going to leave the Catholic Bible with you. Oh, and by the way, it's going to take 1,500 years before it shows up, so you're on your own for 1,500 years. He didn't say that. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's me talking to you. I will counsel you. I will be your brother. I will walk with you. I will talk with you. I will converse with you. I will answer your questions. And yet, amongst our circles, I don't hear hardly any conversations about that. It's always about something in the Catholic Bible, whether we agree with it or disagree with it, or so, it's always that. Now, I'm not saying that the Scriptures are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But it just seems odd to me that Yahshua himself did not stamp an approval on a thing called the Bible. It didn't exist, and it didn't show up for 1,500 years. But he did tell us, and the disciples then, that he would have the counselor for us, that we have real-time communication with. In other words, there's no interpretation needed. It'd be like I'm going into a closet, and I say, hey, Jeremiah, why don't you go into the room over there, and we'll talk through a portal between your room and my room. Have a conversation. That's what prayer is. That's what he meant by a counselor. And yet, in our circles, I rarely hear that being talked about. And it makes me wonder why. I don't know. Am I out of touch here? I don't understand, because much of what I know was taught through the leading of the Spirit. Many things that I've learned have come that way. Now, could I find confirmation in the things that we call Scripture? Sometimes, but sometimes not. And I'll give some examples here. I was at a congregation. I had a lady with me at the time, and I had members of the congregation come to me and said that she's not dressed appropriately. I said, what? Yeah, she's showing too much cleavage. Now, I wish I still had a picture, but the lady that was with me had a top to her dress that came clear up to about 3 inches below her chin. So it was like, what are you talking about? But that was too much flesh for these seniors within that congregation. That was too much flesh. She should have had it clear up to her Adam. Well, she didn't have an Adam's apple, but clear up to her neck. That's what they thought was more appropriate. They thought there was too much. So that's what I'm trying to drive at is, did the Holy Spirit tell them that? Or was that their own personal interpretation of what they considered, quote, modesty? Because it does say to be modest, but what does that mean? Okay, because this world we live in today, I don't see anybody that would fit their description of modesty today. I don't see anybody in months going by that would fit their description. So it makes me wonder, why is it that we do that? Now, again, this was a lady who wrote poetry, identity poetry, and contributed it. She had her own studies that she contributed. She did baking and cooking for the congregations. She was very helpful for anybody that was in need. All those things were overlooked because some of the other women thought she had too much flesh on her chest showing, and they thought that was immodest. That's what they had to tell me about. They didn't tell me about all the good works. They didn't tell me about her knowledge of Scripture. They didn't tell me about the good deeds. There's too much flesh on her chest. That's what I heard about. I got to admit, I was dumbfounded. It's like in this world, with everything that we've got going on, that's what you're concerned about. That's what these people were concerned about. Or I was at another conference, and the men got into a great big argument over which day of the week was the Sabbath. Or even, what does the Sabbath mean? How should you do it? Or what do the feast days mean, and when should we hold them? And I mean, it was endless, endless, endless bickering that goes on. John says jealousy. Yeah, a lot of it is jealousy. I learned that over the years. A lot of it is jealousy. Oh, and some people just want to have other people listen to them. So, like I said, I just shake my head sometimes at the things that we do to divide our ranks rather than trying to stay together as a family. I mean, how many times do we stop and say, is the thing that I'm upset about or the point I'm trying to make actually worth dividing the camp over some of these issues? Now, there are some issues that are important, don't get me wrong, but there are some of these issues that we have an enemy trying to exterminate us right now. Literally exterminate the white race. Where's the concern over that? Where's the army of white men who want to defend their families, their children, their grandchildren? Where? We have monsters walking around this earth who have openly said that they want our race to be exterminated. So you have to excuse me if I don't get too upset over inconsequential things. I'm just not. I was raised differently. I was raised more by manly men and warriors than I was the other kind. I'm sorry. Ella, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Okay, let me put it down first. Yeah, you know, over the years, I've gone through all stages. I've studied multiple things, and I've seen, watched, and observed things going on. And there are people that never knew about Yahweh, the Bible, or anything, and then suddenly they get into a bad situation in their life, and they have nobody else to turn to, so they turn to God, Yahweh. So what do? They ask a pastor, now that I become saved and I'm born again, what do I do next? And every one of them, bar none, have said, find yourself a Bible-believing church and join it. And that's the last thing I would tell anybody to do. Because, you know, even the Bible, it tells us, is Yahweh separated? There's 35,000 different denominations of so-called Christianity out there. Which one do you tell them to join? You don't tell them to join any men. What you do is tell them to get down on their knees, pray to Yahweh for the Holy Spirit to guide you what to do. Then open your Bible, get your concordance out, and start learning what the words say, and follow where he leads you. Because every person is going to be led in a different direction. Not everybody is going to start in the same place or end up in the same place. And then, you know, along the way came, even with the Bibles, the way they were as the printing press came up and Gutenberg, you know, printed them out and everything. Then there's all kinds of Catholic, Buddhist, Episcopal, Protestant, all kinds of Bibles out there. Just a complete hodgepodge of everything. And the only way you're going to learn is by getting together with the like brethren. If you knew who the Bible was talking about, basically, like Dan used to say, very valuable statement, you have to learn who's who in the zoo. If you don't know who is who in the Bible, you don't have a clue what it's about. Until you know the principal characters in the Bible are the Israelites, you have no idea that the total enemies of the Israelites are the Jews. Then you have that statement in John 44, I think it is. I'm not sure if that's the right one or not. But it says salvation is of the Jews. So everybody thinks that we have to look to Israel and the Jews for our salvation. That's what people actually think. Because they don't know who's who in the zoo. If you knew that the white Anglo-Saxon people were Israelites, you would look for groups of them to teach you the truth. But the churches have been deceiving us all down the line, and that's why none of us, every one of us, are going in different directions, being told what to do, what not to do, what to wear, who to marry, who not to marry, if you should get divorced, not divorced, what you should eat. And all of that is answered for you right in the Word if you read them and compared notes with your fellow brethren. I'll yield.
Yep. Well, good points. And again, you know, I'll point out the fact that when the Israelites were in bondage and they were crying out to the Father and he sent them a monarch, okay? Now, Moses never called himself a monarch, but did he not function as a monarch? Last time I checked, yeah, pretty much. He was not the monarch, and in a way, he was the commanding general of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. So if anybody out there thinks that every Israelite in Egypt was in total agreement with Moses and Aaron, I got news for you. No, they weren't. In fact, Moses wasn't even that good of a speaker. Aaron did most of the speaking. Moses was not gifted as a public speaker. Okay, and so Aaron had that job for the most part, but Moses was still the monarch. So again, you know, at this point in time, with Jacob Israel under the assaults that we're under, you would think, like our ancestors, they would be looking for the modern-day Moses, the modern-day Abraham, the modern-day Joshua, the modern-day King David. Instead, They're looking for political solutions. They're looking for people like Trump to save the day. They're looking for some particular denomination of the church world is going to tell them total truth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're looking everywhere but where we know the Father has worked with us as his sons and daughters in the past. Okay, and yet we think that this is different somehow today. And so there's going to be a different way. So we're looking for a second coming. We're looking for Yeshua to appear in the air. Some people are saying, oh, we'll be raptured out of here. We're not going to have to do any of this stuff. I mean, we've got thousands of different versions of the, quote, end days. And not one person is considering that we've been in this position before. And what did the Father do? He provided an anointed leader, and the people, when they got their act together and recognized the leader and started working together as a team, they were able to accomplish their goals. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's why we're failing. Our countries are being invaded. Every European nation, Canada, the United States, are run by Jews. Macron in France, a Jew. Merkel in Germany, when she was there, a Jew. The person that replaced her, if I'm not mistaken, is also a Jew. England run by Jews. Sweden run by Jews. Netherlands run by Jews. Spain probably run by Jews. Canada for certain run by Jews. America undoubtedly run by Jews. So the very people who want to see the annihilation of the white race are somehow still in power, still sitting there running the nations into the ground, betraying them every chance they get, and the white man sitting on his ass who says that, well, we have to be in total agreement. We have to agree on the version of the Bible. We have to agree on all the interpretations of the verses of the Bible. We have to agree on the dress code. We have to agree on the Sabbath. We have to agree on the feast days. Because if we don't get all that together, then we can't defend ourselves against these monsters that want to destroy us. Hello? How does that even make sense? It doesn't. That's my contention. A lot of people think that, well, Dan, you should stick to what you've always done. Just teach Bertrand Comparet and teach all the other stuff, you know, and what's in the Bible. And in other words, play church. Let's play church. Okay? That's what everybody wants to do. Let's play church, and then somehow this will just all work out. I got news for you. Not this time around. Not just, you're missing the lesson. You see, there is a lesson to be learned here, and you're not getting it. You're just not getting it. I'm sorry, but we're failing the test. That's why nothing is improving. Nothing has improved, even with the complete retarded stupidity of the past 4 years. And yet nothing has changed. The pharmaceutical companies are still producing them. The pharmaceutical companies are making multiple hundreds of billions of dollars. Your government is still committing treason. Doctors and hospitals are still murdering people. I mean, nothing has changed 4 years later. Except that your enemy has grown stronger and is now coming out in public and said that they're going to open your borders, allow the invaders in, and they're going to take your tax dollars and fund them. Personally, I don't see how the white race survives. And to be quite honest, I'm not sure the white race deserves to survive. Prove me wrong. We don't defend the baby in the mother's womb anymore. We don't defend the widows anymore. We let our senior citizens out there just fend for themselves. Oh, have a good time. Yeah, I know, you know, you raised me and you bore me, and but, you know, I really appreciate you helping me get a good start, but, you know, you're kind of on your own. very few of our people are like Jeremiah, who took it seriously to look after his mother, okay, to look after somebody in the family, no matter what their condition, no matter what their age, et cetera, et cetera. Very few out there that have that kind of loyalty to family, loyalty to one another. Very few. Very few. And again, that's why I say, when Yeshua said that his flock was a tiny flock, he wasn't kidding. Okay? He wasn't kidding. And again, in Matthew 19, verse 14 here, it says, but Yeshua said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Little children. Now, when we think of little children, it's not exactly what the Greek words meant here. It meant basically young people. Okay, not necessarily little five-year-olds. It was talking about very young people, people who are technons or younger. Typically not been in this world long enough to be, quote, wise, like some of us have been walking around for quite a few decades. We've had time to make mistakes and learn, where these are like little children. But why does he say the kingdom belongs to them? Because they don't question everything. They don't. Little children, they come up and they understand that you have love in your heart, and they're much more likely to agree with what you're saying and not sit there and pick it apart like we do when we get in congregations. That's the one thing I did find the most disappointing when I attended churches, was the congregations were typically full of hypocrites. Lots and lots of hypocrisy in the organized churches that I was part of. Very, very disappointing. Very little of the teachings of Christ in the day-to-day lives of the people that sat in the pews every week. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay, let me shut that thing down again. Whoops. Sorry, my computer's kind of screwy lately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the Bible talks about little children, it doesn't necessarily mean little kids 2 years old, 3 years old, or anything like that. Because if you read the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it kind of defines the maturity of the believers. He calls believers that are just new into the understanding of Christ, they calls them little children. And then as you get to learn and you understand more about the working of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, he starts talking about them as young men. And the young men are the little bit more mature ones that are above the little children. They can teach the little children how to grow into a little bit more mature people. And then you have the ultimate that he calls the mature Christians. I hate that word, Christians. Mature believers, he calls them fathers. These are the people that have matured in Christ and know the in-depth concepts of understanding how Yahweh works, who his people are, how his people intertwine and react with each other, and what his expectations are. And these fathers are the ones that are supposed to be the leaders of the people as they're maturing from little children to... I'll yield.
Yep. Well, like I said, we have a tendency, our people have a tendency to try to work very hard to find things to argue about and divide each other over, rather than just accept the fact that we're all family. We're racially a family, but we're also, through faith in Yeshua, another aspect of us that brings us together as family. And everything Christ taught when he walked here was about behaving as brothers and sisters and loving each other. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Did he not? He wasn't talking about the invaders that are flooding across our borders. He wasn't talking about these monstrous Jews who have infiltrated every level of government you can imagine. He wasn't talking about them. He's talking about our people. Love each other. Take care of each other. Treat each other like family as I have loved you. And yet we can't even do that. One simple commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That's it. can we do that? No, no. Instead, we want to fight. We want to bicker. We want to yell and argue, scream, demand things of one another, blah, blah, blah. I'm having a bad day, so I'm going to take it out on you. And no, I'm not going to walk in your shoes because I don't give a damn. I think you should behave this way. And you said a bad thing to me. I don't want to hear about forgiving 70 times 7. I don't want to hear about turning my cheek. You offended me. So for the next 100 years, you're going to have to grovel at my feet before I'm going to forgive you. That's what our people tend to go by. That's sad, if you think about it. That is sad. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay. When the Bible says to you, love your enemies, it's not talking about the Jews or the enemies of Yahweh or anything. He's talking about your brethren. If you have enemies or people you don't like among your brethren or people that you argue with or don't get along with, you're supposed to be able to settle your differences amongst yourself and be able to love each other as a family does. Because if you have a family of like eight people, or six children and two adults, every one of them are different and every one of them are going to cause problems and everything. But you grow to love each other because you're family. And in spite of the fact you're family, you're going to have disagreements, arguments, and you're going to say, boy, I hate that person. But you don't really. What you do is you try to understand them, get along with them, don't offend them, and do your best to improve your relationships with them, which is exactly what we should be doing with our own brethren now, but we're not doing it. Everybody seems to be divided into their own little niche, and that's what they want to stay. And I wish that would change. I'll yield.
That's there's two aspects of what Yahshua taught that our people seem to have the most trouble comprehending and implementing. One is the idea of being humble. Not too many of our people know how to do that. They don't know how to be humble. And that's causing a lot of problem. We have a pandemic of narcissism, self-centeredism, is one of our problems. Number two that's very difficult for our people is the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness. We don't forgive much anymore. Again, I've been shocked at how many identity gatherings I've been to, feasts, dinners and get-togethers and midnight chats along outside by log fires and all, when we'd all gather and talk about scripture. That's the one thing that we seem to have a lot of difficulty with, besides humility, and that is doing what Yahshua said, and that is forgiving 70 times 7, willing to take a slap across the cheek. We're not willing to take any kind of offense today. Most of the people I know, it's true, they don't. And that's what causes division. That's what causes division. You know, there's an old saying when I was in the military that there's no atheists in foxholes. A lot of people don't know what that's talking about, but what it means is you can be brave and bolsterous when you've got that uniform on and you're marching with your brothers and it's a sunny day and there's no actual battles to go to. But when you're out there in a foxhole, which means you're in the mud, you're in the dirt, and there's people 100 yards away that are doing everything they can to kill you, that changes things quickly. And then all of a sudden, when death is knocking right at the door, everybody says, uh-oh, maybe it's time I get right with my Creator. Well, we're sort of the same way when it's time to get right with our brothers and sisters here. We want to ignore it as long as we can. We want to stay high and mighty. We're pious and they're sinners. I don't offend anybody, but you, that person offended me. Blah, 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 blah. We seem to do that quite a bit. But when you're in that foxhole, I'm going to tell you something. Not only are you going to remember that you do have a creator and you're going to stand in front of him, so atheism goes out, all of a sudden belief comes in. But when you're in that foxhole, you're also going to realize that you may never see your brother, your mother, your father, your next door neighbor, your husband, your wife. You may never see them again. And then you sort of say, well, you know, maybe I should have forgiven them. Maybe I could treat them better if I could learn to forgive. Because part of the reason we treat each other the way we do is because we harbor some kind of an insult or an affront that somebody did to us. And instead of forgiving them or burying the hatchet, so to speak, we tend to hang on to it and use it as a club to beat the other people up with. I've seen that a lot, too. So it would be really nice if we could just do what the Father told us to do. Really, to me, it's not that hard. But, you know, again, it just amazes me. I'm reading John's note here, so if somebody's got something, go ahead. Well, yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I know what you're talking about, forgiving people. But again, it boils down, Dan, these people, they're narcissists, they're psychopaths, they get pleasure, absolute pleasure in somebody else's misery. That's not right. How can people sit there and say, how can you sit there and absolutely, oh, I'll rely on this guy. I'm, you know, this person, they've gone so far astray that you could have reason walk up and shake their hand and they wouldn't recognize it. Simply put, I mean, I've seen so many people over the years. My ex-mother-in-law said she was going to send me a book about the Holocaust and how it was real. I said, don't send it. I respect you, but I cannot, in good conscience, take that kind of garbage because I'll burn that book. She didn't like what I said. You know, I don't want to sit there and have somebody sitting there and continuously spread lies, rumors, ticking everybody off, throwing everybody else under the bus. And I see it in identity. It's so bad. I thought just going to a church, which they're a bunch of hypocrites and stuff like that, that it was bad enough. But I see people that are upset about Paul and he's a false apostle. I'm like, oh my God, you people are going on about mundane details. I don't care. We got to go by the Father's word and not what everybody else's narcissistic, I'm better than you kind of attitude. I've seen it all over. I've gone to feasts and stuff like that. I've seen the crap. Then everybody wants to crap on each other. Well, I don't like this person from what you call who taught me. Well, he still taught you. I don't care. I mean, whether you like him or not, that's not the point. It's that the fact that you're growing into what you are and accept what you are. But I see so much of this crap of people sitting there and they're like trolls. They just can't help themselves. And they just love to sit there and get everybody angry at each other. I wonder if they're not, I don't want to say possessed or something up to that like, but it sure the hell looks like it. I mean, I've been thinking about this here all night for about the last 50 minutes. To talk about, what is it now? Giants and stuff like that. Well, we've had different civilizations, things like that throughout all of history. I mean, you look at all of the architecture, all of the stuff that's been, there are building blocks. Nobody could put up with modern machinery. And people are sitting there arguing about, well, it was this here and that there, they did it by whatever. I don't care. I marvel at the architecture. I marvel at stuff that was built here even 100 years ago. It's beautiful stuff. Now all I have to see is soul-sucking, soul-crushing boxes. I mean, you look at these 15-minute cities, which nobody wants to talk about, these condominiums or these apartment houses that are sprouting up. I listened to a guy named David Scorpio, and it's amazing how much you can sit there and listen to some like that. I mean, I'm not agreeing with everything he says, like anybody else, but they're putting up all these big concrete buildings with small windows. They're not putting them up for nothing. They're not doing these things for nothing. They want to be on the Chinese model. You're going to have a social credit score. You're going to end up getting barcoded with this vax. I'm sure this vax, I could be wrong. There's some nanotech. Somebody will scan you up there. You won't be able to go into the Walmart or to this beast, belly of the beast system. I mean, they talk about, what was it, men of renown. I agree with that. I mean, they could talk about Bill Gates. Oh, get rid of Bill Gates. It's going to be, I even thought about that for a long time. But he's a front man. The Rothschilds are front people. We're the people that are running this planet right now. We don't know the names of them, and we don't know what they're doing. We don't even know their next move. All we can do is just anticipate what they're going to do. Well, we can't sit there and acquiesce like we have. We have acquiesced way too many times. I mean, I'm sorry for being long-winded, but I've been listening to this, like I said, almost an hour, and I just had to vent. It's unbelievable how people are sitting there and saying, it's the Rothschilds, it's Bill Gates, it's Norbert Harari, it's Klaus Schwab. I said, they're just front people. And they talk about Chinese troops coming up there. I said, we've got our own people that are coming in there that are gays, are in the military. They have no compunction to take us out. We've got the people coming across the border that are joining the military and stuff like that. And they talk about Chinese. Again, that's red herring. It's fine if you want to believe it, but we got foreign people. I'm talking about the homos and everything else that want everything that's pure and right and good gone immediately. They have no compunction with putting you, I, Ella, Jeremiah, whoever is on this chat, and put us away immediately. They don't care. The sooner the better for them. Because they have their little utopia. They get their 30 pieces of silver. And what is it going to get them in the end? Nothing. Not a damn thing. I mean, I look at all the world's problems. Everybody goes, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, you got to live day by day. Period. You can't just sit there and, what's going to come here. Like one guy told me here a couple years ago, John, he says, you know, if Russia sends off, per se, a nuclear up and it gets here in 17 minutes, what are you going to do in 17 minutes? Nothing. He says, you're going to be dead. Who cares? So you're just going to have to live life. Everybody's in fear, constant fear of this. constant fear of that, constant fear of everything. When does this end? When the hell does this end? There is fear of, I seen people here the other day, I kid you not, watching these people with masks on in their cars 4 years after a so-called pandemic started. 4 years. Unbelievable. And it's like, I see a person, they barely sit there, they take their food from their Burt Burger place at McDonald's, which is aborted baby burgers, and I always give my brother crap because he eats that kind of crap. And I said, hey, I said, this person goes out there, takes their boy slop, eats it there, takes off their mask in their car to put a little morsel in there. It's pathetic. These people have been conditioned to obey the God of science. And nobody wants to mention that one either. Nobody. Not one person mentioned about science. Now you got the Fauci God. You got the Harari God. You got this here. People are going with man God. They're coming up there with Trump. 2024, he's going to save us all. Well, let me tell you something. Donald Trump is about as evil to the core as you're going to get. But somebody goes, "What are you going to? You think that Joe Biden's so good?" I said, "You're bringing this stuff on." I said, "No, I said by me not voting. I said I'm not voting for evil. I vote for Yahweh every day, 24/7." That's what you're supposed to do. Simple. But people don't go by the golden rule. They don't want to treat each other decent. They want to kick each other in the ass. They want to sit there and go to their sports ball all the time. They want to sit there and show off their fancy car or their dress or their fancy suit at social day on Sunday. And then 5 minutes later, they come up there, and they're coming up there and they're bitching and pissing and moaning about everything under the sun. Oh, this person's you know what, blah, 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 blah. What a bunch of hypocrites. Come on. Give me a break. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of backstabbing. I'm tired of this soul-sucking architecture I have to see every day. I mean, everybody talks about all the churches, their beautiful stained glass building. I said, let me put it this way. You know, I look at these older buildings, older churches. I don't care. I don't care if it's a building that people go into, per se. To be brutally honest, I'm looking at the architecture, what we have created, a beautiful building. Now you see these so-called church buildings. I don't go to them. I haven't gone to a church building in years. But the point being, I look at these things. They're soul-sucking. It's like looking at Lego blocks. There's nothing, not a thing that I would – I look at – they even had a courthouse they put up here for $50 million. And it looks like hell. It looks like something that a three-year-old could have designed. And I see an old courthouse that went about 200 miles south of here. It's just beautiful. And somebody goes, well, it's a courthouse. It's man-made. I said, that's not the point. It's about what man, our race, has achieved. And people don't get that. That's about these church buildings. It's beautiful architecture. I don't care what goes in there. I don't give a rip. I don't care. I look at what we've achieved, and now people are concerned about what's this person doing and blah blah blah. Well, I mean, be proud of what you've achieved. And now you get GMO foods. People, I lost my train of thought. But how can people sit there?
And GMO foods. You were talking about GMO foods, John.
GMO foods. How can people sit there? One guy came up there. There, one person told me, John, you know, he come up with organic. He says, do you realize, John, this is a guy from Michigan. I've known him for almost 10 years now. He goes to me, he says, do you realize that they spray chemicals in the sky? He says, there's nothing, not a thing of being GMO food. True GM or GMO free. Or all this other crap, these seeds or whatever have you. That's gone. He says that's been gone for years. I mean, all this hybrid crap has been going on for 40, 50 years. They're spraying things in the sky, he says, John. He says, you got everything else under the sun. He says, the water you got, if you're doing it, if you're in town, he says, you do know there's chlorine in that stuff. He says, that's real healthy. And he says, everything that's on the shelf that is has a long shelf life lessens your shelf life as your container. And I thought about that. I said, it makes sense. But nobody wants to sit there and realize, it's non-GMO. It's still contaminated. It still is. I don't care what it. You do your best and forget the rest. That's what I was told by somebody many years ago. Just, you know, maybe I'm just talking out like I've got a paper, you know what. But I'm tired of the backstabbing. I'm tired of the soul sucking. What's going on? I'm tired of the people that are people that don't even want to try to listen to reason, even when reason stands up to shake their damn hand. And then they're arguing over giants and Nephilim and all this other stuff. What I don't care. I care about just preserving ourselves in one piece. And then we can go with ideology. But it's the people that come up with this deal about ideology and are so concerned about this is what was said, that was what was said. When it really, all these mundane details mean nothing. At the end of the day, they mean nothing. Because we have to save ourselves first before we get into ego and vanity, and that's our problem as a race. I yield. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh no, that's we haven't heard from you in quite a while, John. So you certainly have the right to take the floor and get it off your chest. So, but no, you're right, and that's the one thing, because I do talk to so many people. You're not alone. I mean, you know, like I've told Jeremiah and Ella and many other people, sometimes we feel like we're alone in how we feel, but you're really not. There are quite a few folks who feel exactly the same way you do. And I agree with you. You know, we do the best we can. There is no 100% guarantee, because many of these corporations, even the natural ones, they lie. They lie because Jews have bought out some of these, the better named organic and non-GMO companies. They bought them out. And we know once a Jew buys them out, they will lie. They will get the definitions changed if they can. If they can't, then they'll just flat out lie. And there are organizations, I think Weston A. Price is one, and there's several others, that follow and monitor these groups, and they put out reports that talk about how many of these labels that you're down at the store thinking you're getting an organic this or a non-GMO that, and it's no different than what's down at Walmart. So you have to do some research. You have to do some digging. But really what Yahweh is trying to get across to our people is for thousands of years, we lived on family farms. That was the heart of our people, not cities, not large cities, little family farms, communities where we grew our own food. That's the only way you can be 100% sure on what you're getting. And there are heirloom seeds available. And if you want to keep what they're spraying in the atmosphere off, you're probably going to have to grow it in a greenhouse. And again, there is no silver bullet that says that everything is going to be perfect, but we do have an obligation to do the best we can to make sure that what enters our temple is as pure and clean as we can do it. And like you said, I've been buying purified water, and I've been using a Berkey now for over a decade. So I found out about the contaminated water back in the 1980s. And my family and I, we drank filtered and purified water ever since. And same thing with the food. As we learned that the food was contaminated, we went to fewer and fewer stores. We went to more farmers markets. We went to wherever they would verify that the farmer or the rancher was doing it right. But again, was it perfect? I don't know, but I'm still here. I'm on no drugs whatsoever, no pharmaceuticals. All my body parts seem to be working and holding up fairly well. So I think my efforts were worth it. Okay. Is it perfect? No. But we also have found out in the last month or so, I've had several different sources put me in touch with products that are put out there that help strip away some of the contaminants that sometimes will creep into our bodies. And there are natural products out there that will do that. So, you know, praise Yahweh for that. But we do the best we can. Like you said, that's all we can do. So, but, yeah.
May I add something, Dan, about something just before I forget?
Sure. Go ahead, John.
One of the things that Scorpio and Sledge and mention, and this year, I've been listening to this year for over a year and a half from them. They call it disaster capitalism. And everybody says, oh, it's the government, it's the government. That's the other thing that I was going to bring up, that the government is your enemy. But the government isn't your enemy. It's the corporations that run everything. And that's what I just sit here and I thought to myself, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you look at it, it's a corporate world. I mean, people are getting, the bigs are getting bigger. You look at this pandemic that happened. Look at how many mom and pop shops went by the wayside. In our area, there isn't a mom and pop shop at all. And we had a restaurant, we had local gas stations, stuff like that. They're all gone. They're gone. I mean, they couldn't survive it. It just, and the bigs got bigger, and that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to get scanned. Beep, you know, that kind of deal. Otherwise, you either go to a FEMA camp or you're, you know, whatever. So I'm just saying that this is not going to end well. And people are going to have to sit there. I'm not saying to, go out there and get this 25-year Patriot's food supply, which is crap anyway, because it's not what it's meant to be. I found that out firsthand. But, I mean, it's all this shilling and corporatocracy. The government is just, you know, just the front. They're all bought and paid for. They might as well have, as one person told me, be like race car drivers with all the sponsors on them showing who's bought and paid for them. I mean, that's all it boils down to. But
right.
Like I say, I yield on that one. So I figured I'd let that. I apologize for, you know, interrupting you.
No, 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 no. That's what this is. This is our family chat time, and you needed to get that off your chest. And there's going to be a lot of people listen to the recording, and they're going to identify with the things that you were talking about, John. I get a lot of feedback from folks that enjoy listening, believe it or not, to the discussions that we have here. So
I enjoyed you very much, John. Thank you. Well said.
I'm not the most articulate person in the world, but I thought about it, and then all of a sudden I lost my train of thought because I was thinking of something else, and I got farmer boys trying to go past here, so I keep the dogs quiet. And yes, I do have dogs, so I have to keep them. So it's like trying to keep my mind on two different things. it's sad, but again, I don't want to sit there and say, well, it's a doom and gloom thing. I'm just saying people have to quit being in fear, quit going out there and acquiescing, quit going out there and bowing down to the merchants of Babylon, which is, I believe that's something in the Bible, correct, Dan?
Right.
And
basically, that's what this disaster capitalism is all about. So,
right.
And then we're going to be on the Chinese model. It's, I mean, the troops and all that stuff, that's again, like I said earlier, that's a secondary issue. The issue here is that we're owned by corporations, and a lot of those jobs went to communist China. I mean, my God, what do we make in this country?
Not much.
It's a throwaway society. I never seen a society years ago. Again, it's like the architecture. What the hell do we make that lasts? We used to make
machines,
made cars, made whatever. And they lasted for years and years. I remember my mom and dad, it was actually my grandparents. They had a refrigerator from 1947, 48, and it lasted into the 1990s. So it lasted for almost 50 years. So why did that work? And I'm seeing one person bought their $2,000 refrigerator, and it didn't last them a day. Because it's all computerized. Everybody wants to be on computer. Well, what's going to happen when the computer goes to crap? I mean, what happened to the old carburetor cars? What happens then when a module goes out or some kind of what do they call that now? Program that's for a computer program goes haywire. What's going to happen? What happens when the power goes out and you're SOL? You can sit there and start a car. You can't sit there. You can sit there and just start a car, a petroleum car, that's got a carburetor on it. But you're definitely not going to start up one of these electric cars that they're pushing. You're definitely not going to sit there and heat your food in a microwave if you're doing that. You're not going to do basically anything. You're going to go, like my mom told me 40 years ago, John, there is going to be a time the power is going to go out and it's going to go back to what it was when she was a teenager. She didn't get, she was 13 years old when they got power grid of the rural electric cooperatives that came in the area, 1949. She was born in 1936. So she went 13 years without electricity, and she says, John, mark my words, all these push-button conveniences are going to go by the wayside. It's going to happen. So, I mean, I've learned to live with stuff that she said. a lot of it, I mean, most of it has it's coming to pass right now. I mean, she had more wisdom in her than most of these. I don't want to be mean to the younger people. I really don't. A lot of people are good people, but they're misled. She had more integrity in her body than most of the younger people put together. All these people that wear their hair, color their hair, all this other stuff, have piercings. You could stick a golf ball through their ear, which is disgusting. I mean, things like that. My mom would sit there and say, that's the sign she says that's when things are going to take a crap. And she's been dead now for 9 years. So I'm sorry again for being long-winded, but that the long and short of it is that I'm watching everything that my mom, my dad saying. They always talked about the Department of Natural Resources. They called darn near Russian. Boy, is that all today. That was the old adage. That was back in 1979, 1980. They were saying that. I'd say the Department of Natural Retards, but some people don't like hearing that, but, you know, that's what I think of that organization. But, I mean, again, it comes down to disaster capitalism. We got a guy who's a billionaire, got a furniture company. They let him build out into a swamp, and he was supposed to put up a wetland. So they put up a wetland on top of a hill. How does that work? That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's in the Department of Natural Retards system. Fantastic. You say a word afterwards. He's a billionaire. He can get away with it. That's the problem with disaster capitalism. I mean, just destroy what Yahweh God has created, and people sit there and get their 50 pieces of silver, 30 pieces, whatever, just happier in hell to have their job, to go to 9 to 5. It's pathetic. I mean, they spend most of it on booze, sports ball, gambling. I look at all this crap, including this name, image, and likeness crap. I don't know if you pay attention to Dan, but I'm absolutely appalled by people having to have everything copyrighted. I mean, they have to have their face everywhere. They have to sell themselves. It almost sounds like prostitution, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's, where does it end? Where the hell does this end? I mean, it goes down into the high schools and grade schools. I mean, you're selling your soul to the devil. And the devil's just sitting there loving it. They're just loving this shit. Excuse my language, but they're loving it. It's wonderful. He's having a gay old time seeing everybody sitting there and doing his work, the proselyte. Which is a word that everybody should use. Because they're twice the child of hell as the Jew is. I believe it says that in the Bible, isn't it?
Yep.
Where these people sit there, they're going to sit there, again, these are the backstabbers, they're the ones that come up there and they say, well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, my brother couldn't even put up, I'll give you another example, my brother can't even put up a cabin, a ready-made cabin. They say it's a shed because of this Agenda 2030 thing. Because we're in a county right now that's a 2030 agenda. Everything, all permits, everything. It's just like you got to have everything a certain way. And he's the code official. And then so they condemn the house. They have to I had to tear down a house that I had. I mean, it's pretty bad. It shows,
wow.
It shows how bad things have gotten. Because it's not just in the big cities. I mean, some of the rural counties are just lovers of being the biggest proselytes there is, of throwing people like my brother and myself to the wolves with no compunction, just to get that few morsels of financial gain or mental gain. I consider them mental midgets, but that's my opinion.
Right. Well, they're worshippers of money.
Right. Some of these people are mental. It's like Scorpio always said. I haven't heard him for a while. I think he's gone off RBN. But he says, Earth is a free-range, open-air, insane asylum, which I completely concur with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry for keeping everybody so long, but I think the vast majority of the population right now, why they haven't gotten to Yahweh's word is because they're mentally ill.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. Yep. We have a serious problem with mental illness. Again, narcissism, mental illness, lack of affection, lack of empathy towards fellow man, certainly a lack of empathy to our Creator. They have become gods unto themselves. They are atheists. And this is not going to end well for them. That much I can tell you. This is not going to go on for too much longer. It's going to come to a climactic end in the very near future. It's going to surprise a lot of people, especially those walking outside the biblical law and recognition of the Creator. So, we do the best we can to wake them up. Unfortunately, most are not going to listen. But there are some people that are. There is repentance amongst some of the circles in this world, and there are people who are starting to resist and trying to create alternatives. I met with some guys last night, and they in turn have been talking to people, even up in your area, John, to form parallel communities, where we get away from this man-made government that thinks that we are their servants when we are not. So we'll see how that goes. But there are a lot of rumblings below the radar. So Yahweh's hand is going to move. And when it does, it's going to be very shocking to a lot of folks. So, but we're almost at the hour and a half mark. Did anybody have any final comments? I yield.
I'll just say I think people are very frustrated now, too, because all through life, I mean, I'm 81 years old now, and all my life I thought, well, when I get to be in my 80s, I should be debt-free. And when when you get to be this age and what's going on in the world now, you realize nobody will ever, ever be debt-free again because the world has made it impossible. Like, I think I discussed with Dan when I broke my wrist a couple months ago, and just having spent just a couple hours in the emergency room for my broken wrist, it cost me $17,000 just for one little wrist, not even get admitted to the hospital, just x-rays, putting an immobilizer on, then seeing a surgeon, putting a cast on, and then just having to bear with the suffering, with just not really relieving your pain, but just giving you a minimum amount of help, a little minimum amount of everything, and you have to manage for yourself. And it's extremely frustrating because people nowadays just don't care. And just to realize that you're never going to be out of debt, that makes you just hopeless. That makes you hopeless if you don't have Yahweh in your life. But I do. Thank you, Yahweh. And I have all the blessed people that attend these family meetings and the Sunday program with Dan that uplifts me and everything. That keeps me going. And I have total faith that Yahweh is going to come and take care of it all and not too long in the future. And so Yahweh bless everybody here. I'll yield.
Yep. Yahweh bless. John, any final comments, buddy?
No, I think that I've pretty much touched everything. I'm just happy that I hope that Jeremiah wasn't ticked off of what I said, but I agree.
No,
with,
he had to go to work, so that's okay.
Because I agreed with what he said earlier. It was spot on. I felt that, you know, I look at the civilizations before us. It's just, you know, all this stuff. But like I said, we don't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen. All we can do is go forward, and, you know, but we can't argue about what happened in the past. We didn't live 6,000, 8,000, 100,000 years ago. We weren't there. So, I mean, we can sit there and just, you know, look at it and say, you know, wow, you know, and admire what happened and what our race did over the last 6,000 or whatever years it's been, and just appreciate things. But people are very self-centered. They're unappreciative, and then they'll appreciate, just like my mom told me, you'll appreciate things when it's gone.
Right.
That's when the things come to pop. Chickens come
right.
to roost.
Chickens come home to roost. Yep. Yep. And the other thing that folks need to remember is we do not have all of our true history. Most of the true history of this earth has been hidden from us. So there's a lot we don't know. And that's why we should not divide our fellowship and argue with each other over things that we've only been given just tiny bits of true information. Most of it's fabrication and lies. So we got to remember that. So hang on to what we do know. We do know that we're here. We do know that we serve a purpose. We do know that we are created beings. There is a creator, and we are spiritual. We do know that there's a place to go after here, and that we're here for a reason. With those things we do know. So hang on to what we do know and just take things one day at a time. That's why Yeshua said that. Don't fret over what's down the road a year, 10 years, 20 years down the road. Take everything one day at a time. So, but it's good to hear you, John. And as far as being able to articulate, you've made great strides in that area, buddy, compared to when you first used to call in.
I try, but it's I ought to sit there and know when to say something and when not to, and when not to argue with fools and stuff like that, because I every once in a while get caught into a trap where I sit there and listen to, get into an argument with somebody, and it's like, oh God, I just went to their level. So it's you sit there and keep your powder dry and just keep on and, you know, do your best and forget the rest. I mean, that's all a person can do.
Amen. All right. Yep. I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody then and close this out. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor as always. And we thank you for this chance to get together as family. We ask your blessing upon all those who are here tonight and those that will listen later. We know we're each and every one of us going through our own struggles and tribulation at this time. We just pray that you would reach down and touch us by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy. Fill us with good feelings about being part of your family. Knowing that we are in the right camp, knowing that we are doing right things and trying to set this world straight, but there is a lot of evil and there's a lot of people that just have dark hearts and just no empathy and no concern for this world as it is. We're on the right path, Father, and we just ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.